The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Right, we come to the end of Jonah. So our Bible reading today comes from Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 to 11. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Thanks, Andrew.
Have you ever gone to a sporting event, or maybe it was some other outdoor entertainment or function where you get to take your blanket, your umbrella, your esky, you find your place on the hill or some other vantage point and you get to look out and observe the game or the event? You know what I'm talking about? You've experienced these sorts of times? Well, this is what Jonah's doing in today's passage. But let's first of all recap how he got to this point. For Jonah, he's come to the city of Nineveh. He's come in around a rather roundabout sort of way. But he's finished up in Nineveh, and there he's preached God's message. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh heard this message. They responded to it. They started to fast. They started to pray. They started to change their behavior. And as a result of that change, the Lord relented and decided not to destroy the Ninevites. And Jonah was angry with God, because God had relented. God had not destroyed the Ninevites. Now, Jonah was angry, but he thought God might come around to Jonah's point of view. He was sort of hoping that that would be the case. And so that's why Jonah had gone out and sat at a place east of the city. That's why he went there and made himself a shelter. He sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. In other words, if it was us today, he'd have taken his esky, he'd have taken his blanket, and he'd have sat down on the hill and had his vantage point to see what was going to happen. Now, he was waiting to see if the Ninevites might revert to their old way of life, their way of wickedness and evil, because in case they did, God might still destroy them. And he'd have front row seats. He'd be able to see all of this taking place. Now, last week, we saw that the Lord had asked Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Now, the Lord had asked him that question. He'd given him the opportunity to pause and reflect. But Jonah was sort of like an insolent child. He hadn't answered God. Maybe he was still too angry to answer. So God had to find another way to continue the conversation. It's like sometimes you can tell them with words that you love someone, but they just don't seem to get it. And so you show them with actions. And suddenly they respond. And so it's a bit like this here for Jonah. God has spoken to him, but Jonah's angry and he's not responding. So God decides to use a lived experience for Jonah to be able to see what God is wanting to say to him. Now, as a devout Jew, Jonah knew how to make a temporary shelter. He'd gone out of town, he'd gone and he'd built this temporary shelter. It was known as a sukkot. And as a devout Jew, he knew how to make one of those because every year at the Feast of Tabernacles, a devout Jew would go out and they would make this little temporary shelter, sort of two walls around on sides, and then this roof that would be made of branches and of leaves. It was never fully enclosed. They would be able to see the night sky throughout the night. The sun would still filter through in the daytime. And so having built his sukkot, this shelter, he sat back to watch. And he waited and waited for something to happen to Nineveh. You know that saying that sometimes things are really boring and it's actually more exciting to watch the grass grow? That's exactly how it was for Jonah. Nothing's happening to Nineveh. So instead of watching grass grow, he starts to watch another plant grow. And this plant starts to grow. Many scholars think it was probably a castor oil plant. They grew in that region. They grew very fast. They had large leaves that created lots of shade. And so we read that the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. The original language says that Jonah rejoiced over the vine with great rejoicing. That's a lot of happiness right there, isn't it? So Jonah's really happy that this plant is there. And in the hot sun, you know, the leaves are giving him some shade. There's some nice greenery around about him for ambience and that sense of coolness. He's really happy at last. This plant's been an unexpected blessing provided by God to Jonah. I actually think it was much more than just the shade. I think God was actually speaking to Jonah through the plant. Because if we look at Psalm 121 verse 5, it says, "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." In other words, the Lord was showing to Jonah, "I'm still present with you. I'm present with you. I'm continuing to show you grace." The presence of the Lord and the grace of the Lord have been two very consistent themes throughout the book of Jonah. Jonah, we saw from very start, chapter 1, was trying to flee from the presence of God. But God was always with him, in the ship, in the water, in the fish, in Nineveh. And now, as Jonah is sitting on his little lonesome under his little shelter, God is still present, and God is still showing him grace. But that comfort that he was experiencing wasn't going to last too long. Because it says at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. And the sun rose and God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. And said, "It'd be better for me to die than to live." Now, let's go back to Jonah chapter 1. In Jonah chapter 1, what we saw was that the sailors asked Jonah who he was, where he came from, and he responded, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land." In other words, from the very beginning, we've been seeing through the book of Jonah that God is the God who made the heavens, he made the sea, he made the dry land, he made all of creation. Four times in the book of Jonah, we see the Lord speaking through his creation. We see in Jonah chapter 1:17, the Lord provided a huge fish that would save Jonah's life. We see now in Jonah chapter 4, in these three consecutive verses, that the Lord God provided a leafy plant. Then God provided a worm. And then God provided a scorching east wind. Each of these is an example of God's grace. God provided a fish as evidence of God's grace to save Jonah as he was sinking into the waters. God provides a leafy plant as evidence of his grace to give Jonah comfort. Now, God provided a worm to cause that plant to wither and die. And then God provided a scorching east wind. See, the Lord wasn't just using words now. He's giving Jonah a lived experience of his presence, of his grace, and he's doing it through creation. Have you ever experienced this? Where times you've realized God is speaking to you through creation. Maybe it's when you've stopped and you've watched the sun rise at the start of a new day and new opportunities God's giving you. Maybe it's when you've stopped and seen the sun setting and you just see the glory of God in the beauty of it. Maybe it's when that tree crashed down and just missed your house. And suddenly you go, oh, Lord. See, if we are willing, we will find that God will speak to us through creation. And the wind that's described here, this easterly scorching wind, is probably the wind that was known as the Sirocco. Sirocco in Arabic actually means easterly. It brings very hot air, very, very dry air that it gathers up over the Sahara Desert, and then it comes north and east. Time magazine reported research by a Dr. Felix Sulman from Hebrew University in Jerusalem. They found that when this hot easterly wind, the Sirocco, blows, about one third of the population are adversely affected. They experience conditions like irritability. For some, it's fatigue. For some, it progresses to fainting. Isn't that what Jonah felt? That he felt faint? Interestingly, what they find is that there's a higher incidence of medical incidents when the Sirocco blows. They find there's more car accidents when the Sirocco blows, and the crime rate goes up. Interesting, isn't it? How something like the weather can influence people's behaviour in such a way. So if we understand that this wind that's been well documented now for a long time is blowing and the plant has died and the scorching sun is coming down and now there's this hot, dry wind blowing through, Jonah is not a very happy camper anymore, is he? He's sitting up there in his vantage point and his little shade shelter's not providing much shade anymore. And he is angry. He's had a day of respite with the plant, but then the plant died. And this hot, dry wind's distressing him. And he gets so distraught that he says to the Lord that he wanted to die. He said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." And we've heard these words before. It's not the first time Jonah said this. In fact, we saw this last week, when he said, "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Now, when the Lord asked him that last, as we saw last week, Jonah didn't respond. Jonah didn't answer back. He didn't give any response, it seems. So now the Lord's used the plant, he's used the worm, he's used the wind to get Jonah's attention. And so Jonah finally responds, "I want to die." Not exactly the response that maybe God wanted, but God responds back to him and says to him, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." Why was Jonah so angry? Well, he was angry because his personal comfort was diminished. Jonah had been really thankful for this grace that God had shown him through the plant, and now he's angry that the plant has died. So far, Jonah hasn't connected the dots between God's grace to him by the shade that gives him comfort and God's grace to the Ninevites to save their lives. Or to put it this way, Jonah desired God's grace for his own life comforts, yet Jonah despised God's grace for the Ninevites to save their lives. Now, Jonah couldn't seem to join those dots, so now the Lord, having got his attention, continues the conversation. The Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals?" God is saying, Jonah, you've had compassion on a plant. You did not plant the seed. You did not water it. You did not mulch it. You didn't prune it. You didn't do anything to it to cause it to grow. You just received its benefits. It grew one day and died the next. Jonah, you've got compassion for a plant that you did nothing for, but gave you comfort. And we too can become so self-focused on our own comfort and on our own feelings that we lose God's perspective. So what's God's perspective here? Jonah had compassion for one plant he hadn't even cared for. Yet Jonah could not see God's compassion for 120,000 Ninevites and their animals that God had created and cared for. That's the perspective God wanted Jonah to see. That was the point of this practical experience of the plant, the worm, and the wind. Jonah, you have compassion for one plant. I have compassion for 120,000 people. You didn't even create that plant. I created every one of that 120,000 and their animals. Can you see why I have compassion for them? I made them. I love them. You see, God describes Nineveh as the great city. In week 5 in this series, we saw this expression, Nineveh, the great city. And we saw that a more correct translation of that would be Nineveh was great to God. In other words, this was a city that was great in God's eyes. This was a city that was important because it was filled with people whom he had created. Nineveh was important to him. See, God cares for all of his creation. God cares for every single person that he's made. The destruction of Nineveh would be distressing to him. And you contrast that to Jonah. Jonah is still focused on his own comfort. As a patriotic prophet, he's focused on his own national interests. As we saw last week, he couldn't see how God's covenantal love, this Hesed love we talked about last week, should be extended beyond the borders of Israel and go out to Gentiles. And God says to him, "Should I not have compassion on people who do not know the difference between their right and left hand?" This expression of the difference between their right and left hand means people who do not know the difference between what is good and what is not. They are ignorant of their sin. Now, admittedly, when the king of Nineveh repented, he acknowledged that the people were evil and wicked. But it seemed like that was a new revelation to him. See, until then, they'd not understood their culture of evil. They'd grown up seeing evil perpetrated. And over the generations, it had gradually become worse and worse. There are people known for their violence, for their evil, for their torture. But that was normal for them. People saw that that's what one generation did and the next generation continued to do it and maybe make it a little bit worse. So in Jonah's eyes, this was a city filled with ignorant, violent people. And yet to God, it was still a city for whom he had love and compassion. It was a city who could change if they heard the word of God. And what had happened? They'd heard the word of God and they'd changed. His compassion had played out. And see, just as God had compassion for the Ninevites, his son Jesus Christ had compassion for people as well. As we read through the Gospels again and again, we see Jesus had compassion. Like in Matthew 9 verses 35 and 36, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus knew that they needed to hear the word of God. Jesus knew that they needed a saviour. They were living life without a shepherd to show them the way. They were ignorant of their sin. They were harassed and helpless. And it seemed that they too may not have known the difference between their right hand and their left. And Jesus was compassionate towards them. But you see, not only did God have compassion for Nineveh, we see his compassion for another city several hundred years later. In a couple of weeks' time, we will celebrate Palm Sunday. On that day, we see God's son, Jesus Christ, coming into another city, the city of Jerusalem. And the crowds are celebrating him as the son of David. And yet Jesus knew that by the end of that week, he would be arrested by the Jewish leaders. He knew that he'd suffer at their hands. And if he was like Jonah, he could be angry at the injustice that these leaders would perpetrate. If he was like Jonah, he could have been self-pitying that this celebration would not continue. That the crowd that loved him today, like a plant that had grown up, would wither. Like when a worm ate around it. And then the hot air of another crowd would blow in, calling for his death. And Jesus didn't express anger, and he didn't express self-pity. Rather, in his compassion, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. See, Jesus had compassion for those who knew no better. But compassion shouldn't just be a feeling. It should be followed by action. And as we compare Jonah and Jesus, what we see was that Jonah went outside the city of Nineveh hoping to see it condemned and to see its people die. We saw Jesus taken outside the city, condemned to die on a cross so that we would not die condemned. We see Jonah was angry. He was angry that ignorant people were spared, that they would not die. Jesus hung on a cross for those ignorant of who he was as the Messiah, and he forgave them. He forgave those who were crucifying him, ignorant of who he was. And he looked down from that cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. See, that's the love of God. The love of God for people who don't know what they're doing. And in reality, at times, that's every one of us. Because we at all, at various times, have said and done things that were wrong. And often just because we've seen other people do it. We've seen other people do it and gone, oh, well, they did it. And if we don't know any better, and if we don't know God's ways, then we just think that's normal. And God had compassion on us. And God desires that we would hear his message of salvation and we would respond and receive his forgiveness. As we wrap up this series on Jonah, I want to mention one more thing that is really unique about the book of Jonah. See, it's a book that doesn't finish with a blessing. And it doesn't finish with a nice, neat ending about how they all lived happily ever after. It actually leaves us up in the air as to what happened next. We don't know how Jonah walks away from this encounter. But what we do know is that up until this point, Jonah has not repented of his attitude towards the Ninevites. And we know that Jonah has not repented from running away from God, or from running away from the city that God had called him to minister to. The unique thing about the book of Jonah is it's the only book in the Bible that finishes with a question. A question that makes us think. Should I not have compassion? Should I not have compassion on people that I made? Says the Lord. Should I not have compassion on people who don't know their sinfulness? Should I not have compassion who've not earned their salvation but can receive the gift of life by grace? The book of Jonah, in finishing with a question, causes us to ask questions. Lord, what would you say to us? And there are two big questions that the book of Jonah causes us to ask. The first is, will you receive God's grace? You cannot earn it. You don't deserve it. It's a gift to you. And the thing is, God could have chosen to give up on Jonah. But in his love and grace and compassion, God kept reaching out to him with a storm to get his attention, with a fish to save his life, with a plant to bring his comfort, with a worm and the wind to get his attention once again. See, God was teaching Jonah about his own character, God's own character. Character of love and grace and compassion. And God was asking Jonah to see this and receive this and in turn be able to share these attributes of God. And in the same way, God loves you. Just as he didn't want to leave Jonah as he was, but used his words and creation to help Jonah become more like God, God would speak to you and says, I don't want to leave you as you are. I want to help you come to know me more, to know who I am, to become people of love and of grace and of compassion. Will you receive God's grace? And the second question the book of Jonah causes us to ask is, will you show God's grace to those around about you? See, God loves each and every person. He's created each and every one. He desires for them to have the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And God's love for the city of Nineveh must cause us to ask how much we love our city and our community around us. To cause us to ask, are we willing to show God's love, his grace and compassion to people who don't know him? To people who are living a life thinking, well, that's the way my parents did it. That's the way my friends are doing it. I know no different. Will we reach out to them and show them the love of God, the grace of God? Will we have that compassion of God for the people of our city and community? Will we take the message of God to them so that they might have the chance to hear and respond? Let's take a moment and reflect on these two questions as we ask, what are you saying to me today, God? What should I do with what I've heard? We always take a minute at this time just to have some chance just to stop and reflect before you rush out into the rest of the day. Just take a minute and ask these questions. Father God, we see through the book of Jonah that you are the God who made the heavens, the sea and the dry land. You made all of creation. And we thank you, Lord, for the beauty of it. We thank you, Lord, for the way you speak to us through it. We thank you, Lord, that you created each and every one who is here, who's with us online, and each and every one in our city and across the world that you made. And there are some who might be asking that question of, will I receive God's grace? And maybe if you haven't received that, and today's a chance for you to say, actually, I do want to accept Jesus. And so today I'm actually going to lead a prayer that if that is your prayer, then I encourage you to pray these words or words of a similar meaning. Lord Jesus, I can now see your compassion for me. I realize that there is much that I have done wrong, often without realizing it. And I'm sorry for the wrong in how I've lived. Now I see your love and grace and compassion for me. I see that you died on the cross for my sins, my wrongs. And I thank you for giving your life up for me so that I can have life with you. So today I receive your gift of grace. I ask you into my life to be my Lord and Saviour. Because from now on I want to live the way you want me to. Lord, we thank you. You're a God of grace, and we receive that. But Lord, there is a second question of how we would show God's grace to those around us. And so this morning, we give you thanks that each person here is the person you created them to be. They are in a place where you have them in this season of life, in their home, their workplace, their community. That each of them has a different sphere of people that they interact with, that they engage with, that they care for, that they may pray for. We pray, Father God, that you would help us to be people who would take on and live out your love and your grace and your compassion for those around about us who do not know you. That they would have the opportunity to experience and to hear of your love, and that they too would receive your grace, that they too would walk closer and closer towards Jesus to a place where they would put their faith in him and that their lives may be transformed. Lord, we would see a city that would be increasingly transformed as more people know you and love you. Come, Holy Spirit, lead and guide us as individuals and as a church to be all we can be for your glory and honour. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.